for a lot.
Hello, everyone. Hey, Chris Martinson here. Welcome to Saturday. This is a live cast. This is about us being in the room together and talking about some things. And today we're going to be talking about Chinese balloons and what all this mysterious excess death is about and anything else that comes up, but mostly whatever it is that you want to talk about too. So we're monitoring the chat here. Anything you want to chat about, if you have a question, bring it in. If it makes sense and we can get to it, we will. So, yeah, and by the way, kind of interesting today. Hey, Evie.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
That's the love of my life over there. It's the woman who makes my life really special.
Thanks.
Over here. So for those of you who don't know Evie, introduce yourself.
Okay. My name's Evie Botello. I'm your partner. We're engaged. And I'm doing inner tracking work and therapy and really just exploring the world right alongside you. Have my own adventures, but I'm happy to join Chris here and, of course, hear a lot of his ramblings and enjoy listening to...
Rants. They're rants, okay.
Okay. Anyhow, just happy to be here on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling.
Yeah. Hey. Hi, Marianne. Hello, everybody. Aw. Hey, that's cool. So, actually, I'm going to start out on a... I have to start out with a dedication. So, this live cast I'm dedicating to Eric Windhorse Mutin. Eric is... he just passed. I just found out he passed yesterday. And this is a man who's dear to my heart. I love you, Eric. I'm going to miss you. Thinking nothing but the best for his partner, Amelia. Those of you who were at our seminar last year saw Eric and Amelia. They were presenters on the emotional resilience part at Peak Prosperity. I've known Eric for 15 years or so. We talked all the time. And he was my... great sounding board, because the one thing about Eric, man, he was his own dude.
He was.
He would call me on my BS like nobody's business. Like if he's like full accountability, full integrity.
Yep, he's authentic.
Yeah.
And Amelia, they were a beautiful couple together too, because they were really exploring a lot of tantric things and just were interested in coming to their sacred like masculine feminine balance together. And I found that to be really interesting. They were working on some really incredible projects together, and I can't imagine what it's like to lose my beloved.
They were gentle and fierce and loving.
Yeah,
they were in it as a partnership.
Big loss.
So with that dedication, I'm gonna miss you, Eric. Carry on, and you'll always be here, buddy. So, be grieving that for a while. Switching gears.
You can't do that. You can't go from making me cry to that. All right, fine.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate it. So, but that's how we keep people alive, right? We speak their name. We speak of them. That's the whole point of grieving and remembering somebody is to bring their name back into... Mm-hmm. into life. Isn't that what the Vikings sort of like? We're all just down here for the amusements of the gods.
Yeah.
But your reputation was everything, right? Mm-hmm. It was reputation. And reputation was a means of saying, I put on a good act, mm-hmm. I played hard, and I was remembered, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. And the way I tie that all in now is I think a lot of people are particularly in our positions of authority, are leading lives that are totally forgettable by history. Because they're not living with integrity, they're not doing things that are interesting or out of any other frame of reference but their own greed or power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just not worthy, you know? So,
yeah.
Glad to know people of high integrity here. That's who we get to play around with in our space. So, at any rate, this is weird. Let's talk about this.
What
for
do you
a second.
Think is going on?
So, New York Post definitely has a little bone on it ever since they tried to report on the Hunter Biden laptop story, of course, and then that all just got suppressed. And so now I think when they have a chance to dig at the Biden administration, they will. But it's true. The Biden administration actually tried to hide this Chinese spy balloon, as if you could hide something that huge slowly drifting across your country.
They tried to hide it? I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they didn't tell anybody about it for a while. When they did, I think it was already over Montana or something, you know, and then they're But what is this thing? What do you mean a balloon? But look at that. It's got stuff draped under it. This speaks to me on a lot of levels. This is really weird.
Yeah, it bothers you.
Yeah, it does. First off, I do want to say, though, that some people have been circulating that picture on the left. I found it on Reddit. It's not correct. It's close, but it's not right. I think you can see here that... get my drawn tool out, right? you see how these panels are all dead in the line here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think you can see here there's actually only 4 in this array, and they orient kind of not even. There's a little staggered gap in there, mm-hmm. right? And second of all, there's this big armature here, which yeah. I don't even know what that is. Like, you're going to hang, like, Van Halen light
wind
show
chimes.
Off of that. Wind chimes. Here we have a little pod of some kind. So this ain't it right here. So if you see that picture, you know how we roll here. We like our data. That ain't it. So just get that one out of your head. But this, I think, is a legit high-def photo. This one passes my sniff test. I think somebody dragged out their... you know, their tracking telescope took a nice shot. So clearly now we can see this thing has, I'm going to guess that's some sort of a camera pod on here. Clearly has some kind of antennae. And then the other thing is these are solar cells here. So if you're sending up like a weather balloon, you know how long the mission's going to be. It's going to be in the air for a week. Mm-hmm. You know that the instrumentation is going to consume X kilowatt hours of power. You put batteries on for the mission. Off you go. When you send up something with solar panels, I'm thinking you don't know exactly how long it's going to be up, and or it's going to be consuming just like a lot of power. Mm-hmm. So you have to recharge. You probably, for sure, you send it up with batteries, but you're going to be doing something that consumes quite mm-hmm. a bit of power. And so the next thing, I mean, does that make sense?
It's sort of. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about these and how far the technology's come. I mean, I've seen those weather balloons that drift into your yard that have like a little, you know, a parcel attached to them, but... How is it powered? Is it helium that's keeping it up in the air?
Oh, not powered. Yeah, but it's floating because I'm sure it's helium.
Okay.
I doubt they would use hydrogen because it's really hard to contain. It's like takes special membranes.
Okay.
Impossible, but
I don't
probably
know.
Helium.
Okay. So the power you're talking about is for all the electronics.
It's just for
stuff.
The electronics, whatever they're doing. It's either cameras
right.
or electronic sniffing gear or something. But my first question is, why do you need that much power? What are you doing? So it's either intending to stay up for like a long time, like go around the Earth a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly launched it with a pattern that takes it right over the United States. Right?
Accidental.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, can you pull up that video? I think that video is actually the path. I just wanted to see how they're talking about it here on the main Scream media.
Do you have earbuds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got it.
The latest on the Chinese spy balloon. It was up in Montana that was spotted on Thursday. Then a
so
National Service Office in Kansas City
X, right?
actually located it
so
yesterday afternoon, Friday afternoon. Last night we were tracking a plane that was
that's true. Like, whoops, we missed it. Right. Second of all, they are talking about how it's going over sensitive areas, but it's almost impossible to fly over the country without going over something sensitive, right? Because
right.
we've got military bases everywhere and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's clearly not just a weather balloon. It's clearly doing something where it's designed to stay up there for a long time. And now it's Saturday. There it is. So it flew over the whole country, but where they first notice it up there is in Montana, just past the Rockies there.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd. Very odd.
How high is it flying? Was it flying at?
The
height?
I think I have that here somewhere coming up. But that's an odd little thing there. So, hey, the whole country got a lot of yeah, somebody says here, Nav says nonsense is just following the jet stream. I bet it is, but I heard something today where they said, I read an article where they said it maneuvered. Like, balloons don't maneuver unless they go higher or lower to catch a wind stream pattern that's different.
Can they make it do that?
Well, that's how balloonists actually go where they want to go.
Like a hot air balloon, yeah.
Yeah, you just dial yourself. But if it's doing that, it means it either has AI on board to be able to detect that or it's
right.
being directed somehow.
Right.
If it's being directed somehow and we're not blocking that.
Right. Like a remote control.
Then it's being allowed to happen, right?
This is very strange.
Yeah, China, our balloons come in peace. Love that. So here's Bloomberg saying what you need to know about the suspected, I guess the suspected part is this, that it's a spy because China said it's theirs. It's definitely a balloon. It's definitely this. So that's the only suspected part is that it's a spy balloon.
They're just trying to get good, beautiful photos of natural landscapes.
That they couldn't otherwise take with a satellite, though. Because here's the thing. Their satellites can take pictures of, like, license plates. We've been able to do that for 20 years. So China has great satellite technology. So the balloon has to be doing something that China felt was best accomplished with that. Now, let's talk about what it could be. It could be a spy balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be that it's just a science experiment that went bad. And by the time the scientist realized his balloon was going the wrong direction and embarrassingly tried to hide it to see if they could bring it down in the ocean or something, and then by the time they notified their superiors, it was already over the U.S., and now you have to...
Yeah, maybe.
But, you know why that doesn't work for me?
Why doesn't it?
Because we should have taken it down.
Yeah.
We should have knocked that thing down. So at any rate, here's what they said about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who is just, I'm just losing faith in this guy by the comment. Advise Joe Biden against shooting the balloon down because of the possible risk of falling debris.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So, Lloyd, I'm going to suggest that you can go to this place called Google Maps and you could look up Montana and you could probably find a place where you go, you know what? It's probably pretty safe to bring this thing down here. I don't think that's really the issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, guys. The balloon is safe and effective. John.
Yeah, they could have called General Miley told him about the stray experiment. Because after all, General Miley was going to call his Chinese counterparts and give them 24 hours notice if we were ever going to attack. You know,
right.
Courtesy call.
Courtesy call.
That's what you do with your potential enemies. You give them the old courtesy call, right? It's like Al Franken getting the courtesy call. I can't use what he actually called it himself in his biography about getting the courtesy call not to go to
one of the Twin Towers.
One of the Twin Towers on 9/11, yeah.
So it said somebody else said that there's one over South America.
Yep.
Is that right? Or Latin America?
Yeah, so there's one there. Ryan, any way to bring that? I kind of missed that comment that just flew by there about the developer.
Is there any MacBook right there?
Oh, yeah. So, Evie, can you just scroll the comments up a tiny bit here?
Sure.
You got it? Yeah.
Second. To here?
Yeah, so I just want to see that one from Adventurous. Yeah. As Adventurous de Robson says, for a long time, I lived in extreme poverty, but recently I came about my own purpose. Became a self-taught developer, and things are improving. Thank you, Dr. Marcifer. I learned a lot here. Love from Brazil. Awesome. Wow. Quick aside, perfect, because what we do at Peak Prosperity is we line up all the crazy stuff going on in the world. But information without action is usually just anxiety-producing or just self-flagellating. Yeah. It's just useless. So taking action, what's the most important action you can take? As I talked about rats in a cage last week. Even you remember reading all those comments? And we asked people, what are your cages? What are your shocks?
Yeah.
The cage for most people is financial. And for them, most of them is because they had a W-2 in this country. We call that means you have a paycheck. So people who are on a paycheck feel exposed and kind of like, you know, I'm only one lost job away from disaster because that is the system that we have. So congrats on getting out of that financial cage and being your own boss there. Awesome. Awesome stuff. So while authorities were contemplating the option of shooting it down when the balloon was floating over sparsely populated areas of Montana, great idea then, it was assessed that the sizable object was large enough to cause potential damage. So obviously somebody had to make the assessment to say, a cow shed being taken out, that damage we have to weigh against the damage of whatever this balloon is doing. Let's assume it's not benign scientific experiment gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's collecting sensitive information.
Right.
Of a sort that you can't collect off of your normal SIGINT, you know, picture and satellite collection capabilities. This has got some other purpose. Probably the only thing I can imagine is that China said, we're going to send this thing up and it's going to have a hotline back and we're going to see how you respond and we're going to see if you turn on any sensitive systems, gather data while you shoot us down and then we'll know. So we might have made the assessment on the other end, which was...
maybe that's what it is.
We're not playing that game. Let's let this thing drift on by. We're not turning on anything.
Right.
You know, sensitive.
That makes sense. That's a logical explanation, maybe.
Yeah.
So, how do we know it's from China? That's a good question.
Because apparently the Chinese said so. They said, oh, yeah, that's ours.
Anybody lost a balloon?
None of... yeah. Just
raise your hand. I mean, so
I lost a balloon as a kid. You remember?
Oh, I know. Those were terrible moments. Very sad.
I know. But I like this part. Like, this is in Business Insider, and they wrote this thing, and they said, shooting down a suspected Chinese spy balloon could be a lot harder than it sounds. Like, really? I just have to ask, what stage of empire is that when you can't shoot a balloon down?
We're somewhere in the collapse.
Really? For, you know, oh, you wanted the ability to shoot down balloons with your $818 billion yearly spend. I was like, oh, you wanted tires with your car? That's extra. Sounds a lot harder. I don't know. It doesn't sound all that hard to me. I don't know.
Couldn't we just go
it's
pop
like
it?
Floating slowly. And
just go poke it.
Oh, God. You know what this is going to turn into, right?
What?
Raytheon's going to have a special balloon project that now we'll have to, it'll be a whole special system. Lasers.
Our poor world.
Pentagon, another balloon spotted, says Captain Axelrod. Let us know where that is. So, yeah, if you have any more data on that, because I've heard there's other balloons out there. I didn't put them in here, but I had pictures. Apparently these balloons have been spotted Latin America. There was one over. They've been floating around for a while, so who knows what they are.
Question, did drones have that same capability that that a balloon would at this point? Wouldn't they?
Well, sure. I mean, it's the sensor package you put on there, so.
Because this is kind of a, like, hey, look at me, a giant, you know, it's not very discreet and small. Like a drone, you, unless you can hear it, you don't even really recognize it's there unless you're looking for it.
Well, right. So this is something that's actually good. I like both what's there, what's not there. Here's something they're not telling us about this balloon. They're not saying we've, you know, put our radar, our, you know, we put electronic detection packages up against it to see what it's doing, and it's not, you know, scanning us with LIDAR. It's not like pushing laser scanning. It's not doing radar scan. You know, they could at least tell us if they had detected anything passive or active on it at this point. If it was doing any active surveilling, it's pretty high altitude to do that from. But maybe, I guess, I don't know. So maybe that's it. Because what are you
droning about drones?
Drones at 60,000 feet. No, not a lot of things fly at 60 grand. That's pretty high. Not a lot of air up there. So that would be a problem. I guess the F-22 goes up to maybe 50,000 feet-ish, starting to push its envelope there. So what would you do for those last 10,000 feet? I'm still assuming we have missiles that can manage that little climb.
Plausible.
You know, those AMRAMs go 120 miles or something. I'm sure it could make another 10,000 feet if it had to.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that bad. So you guys are cracking us up here.
I know.
Everybody's feeling a little spicy today. It's good. I like it.
It's in the air.
I do. I like it. So let's see what else we got there. Yeah, 50K sounds about right. Wouldn't be surprised. Probably, you know what, Aaron? I bet it could go a little higher, but that's where you're pushing it beyond its design envelope. You know, you probably shorten its lifespan a little there if you tried to get that F-22 a little higher, but it takes a lot to go higher. You have to just really push everything. So I don't know. This just doesn't make sense. So plus, the other thing I have to ask, Evie, is while we're all watching balloons, what are we not watching?
What else is happening?
Because this is how cynical I am. Like,
I don't think you're cynical. I think you're realistic at this point. There are a lot of things that go down while we're being distracted with some stupid story.
These comments are great. I'm with you, Brenda. These comments are awesome. red balloons. But it's ludicrous. Take it at its face value. The United States is now completely consumed by and flummoxed by a balloon.
That is funny.
What stage of empire is that? It is embarrassing. It's demoralizing, I tell you what. But it's clearly doing something with that, consuming that much power. So they haven't told us that at a minimum, they should say, we're scanning it, and it doesn't seem to be beaming anything. So they could tell us at least it's not doing anything active. So now it's doing something passive. So it's out there, like, you know, looking for stuff, right? Maybe. mean, you'd have to take a guess. Here's the other thing. I did show some pretty decent pictures of it here, you know, like this is a pretty decent high-res picture, but I know we can take even more high-res pictures on that, right? We should be able to really zoom in on this, you know. Take Mount Palomar's telescope. Take you know, one of your key telescopes that can see, you know, galaxies on the far side of things. Point it up in there, because I'm interested, what's in that pod, do you think? I really would like to know, what's in that little center pod? What's it doing?
I mean, they have technology now that cameras are tiny. Tiny, right? Microphones. I don't know what other sensors they might have on there. Like, are they taking measurements of something? Is it just to see, or is it something else?
Don't know. Don't know, but it's not a weather balloon. That is not a standard weather package, I can tell you that much. And it's consuming power, so I'm guessing it's doing something pretty active. Or it's designed to stay up for a really long time. Like, you make the balloon frame itself out of some material that doesn't leak helium through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it could stay up for a very long time.
How long, even still,
you know, sooner or later, you know, that's going to get, that has to have a mechanism for coming down again. Because otherwise it will slowly lose helium over time, and then it'll drift down, and if you're not in control of it, it drifts into flight paths, and then if some, you know, accidentally gets taken out.
Oh, right. How's that working right now, even, with it?
It's above flight paths. Above? So the standard flight ceilings are, you know, 33 or 37,000 feet, and this thing's allegedly either at 40 or 60, depending on the two things I read.
Right.
One said 60, one said 40. I don't know who to believe.
No, that's a good point, though. When it does come down, it will go through air traffic, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Or potentially onto, anyway, yeah, you put these things up, you always have a plan how you get them back down again, I would think.
Strange.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
Oh.
Say it out loud.
This balloon didn't deflate itself, right? Giant marshmallow. It's the Stay Puft marshmallow balloon. Yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that. It's weird how you can see, like, the air deforming.
Yeah.
Parts of it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just all very strange, but what I'm really strange by is how it's sort of flummoxed the nation. So here's my one rule of events. When there isn't an immediate consistent story about it, and they're groping about, and maybe we could shoot it down, maybe we can't, this, you know, this is what I call a real story. A fake story is it comes and it's all like there's a whole thing and there's scripts and there's a story about it. There's a whole narrative that everybody agrees
on. Everybody's saying the same thing.
Everybody says the same thing.
News org.
Yeah, for a while it's like we're groping. So this is a real incident, right? Fake incidents, everybody singing from the same script, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Building 7 came down. It's embarrassingly still right over the shoulder. Yeah, it's just like still right there. You know, so yeah, this is clearly a real incident, but why? And what could, you know, China is obviously very sophisticated in its geopolitical maneuverings. I don't think they would have sent this over accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So this feels intentional, for sure.
Well, maybe it's less personal if there's one over in Latin America. If there's
That's
another
possible.
One,
yeah.
Then, you know, it's just a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It was probably doing underground scans, says Bleak. Maybe. That could be something that consume a lot of power, and it could be doing those active scanning. But then again, you know, we would know that. I mean, somebody would know that because we'll just be tracking it and looking for what it's doing, obviously. And so they're not telling us any of that stuff. They're bringing out all these defense officials giving us vague, stupid statements, which we know they have a lot more behind it than that. Mm. And, of course, we have a press today which doesn't dare ask a follow-up question. Like, come on, we know you got, come on. We know that is it beaming anything out of it from an active standpoint? We know you have the capability to detect if this thing's got radio, laser, other sort of signal forms coming out of it. Would that help us understand the, you know, the solar panels on there? I mean, this is not hard. I mean, come on. Nobody asks those questions. They just go, oh, yes, spokesmodel for the Pentagon. Yes. I'll help you craft the story later as to why you need another $100 billion next year for the balloon invasions. You know, that's how it goes. Everything just turns into more Pentagon money. Can we admit this? We have a military-industrial complex that runs the show, has for a long time, has immense power, gets us into trouble all the time just so that they can consume their products and get us to buy more of them.
Yeah.
That's
we definitely do have that.
It's a broken system. As broken as our healthcare system. A harvesting, a racket.
Yeah.
Just another racket.
That's true.
So, regardless of what this balloon turns into, I'm sure it'll just turn into another racket. I don't know. I don't know why it came here, but
somebody
I know.
Maybe it's COVID night. You know, another COVID dispensary implement, which is sort of funny, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, so based on all the stuff floating around.
Is that a canister pod releasing stuff above? Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe they're checking to see how much, you know, underground resource we have.
Mm-hmm.
Gas and oil. And can they tell that from way up there?
No, probably not from there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, you know, you'd do that on the ground, but... we launched a car into space. They launch a balloon. Remember that? Elon sent the Tesla into space.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty cool stunt, actually, I thought.
I'm going to go back and watch that.
Yeah. All right. So that's, I don't really have anything else to do with the balloon on that. I think we'll switch gears now and go to my favorite subject, which is this, that finally the New York Times is asking the important question. Why are so many Americans dying right now?
Hmm.
By that guy, David Wallace Wells. We're going to check out his capabilities here as a thinker, as an opinion maker.
Opinion writer.
Yeah. Why are so many Americans dying right now?
Hmm.
Great question. Honestly, it's a better question to ask almost 2 years ago. But finally, we're asking it. Okay. A little slow. A little slow on the uptake. That's what I've come to expect from the New York Times. The gray lady is more of a really sort of a really washed out gray lady at this point in time. Mm. The New York Times is no longer the paper of record. It's
indeed.
Unless you want to record what the propaganda is. It's fantastic at that. That's why, you can see, this is a subscriber-only newsletter. I do subscribe to the New York Times, and the reason is I like to know what they're thinking.
Oh, it's like the same reason I listen to NPR?
Exactly. You just needed. Mm-hmm. Well, I got this, you know, somebody who's just really insistent about this is Robert Kiyosaki. And so he talks to us all the time and he studies his enemies.
Mm.
You don't tell them how bad they are. You go in and you ask them, tell me how you think. You need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it wasn't adversarial, but it does prove to be just a tiny bit adversarial because
yeah.
I'm on the opposite side of what they're up to all the time. Yeah. Aloha, Jay. Sudden medical coincidences is what we're talking about here, possibly. So let's see. This is how David Wells decided to start this. He said about 1.1 million Americans have officially died from COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic, a number that may be familiar by now only because we have repeated it over and over again. It's also a completely bogus number, and we know that. It's completely bogus. However, here's a less familiar one. According to one tabulation by the CDC, more than 300,000 additional Americans have died over the past 3 years whom we would not have expected to in more normal times. And that's above and beyond the ones who died from COVID. Now, why did I say from? My audience, our audience knows this, right? Mm-hmm. He gets an F minus on this particular thing because this is a really, really dumb statement to make at this stage. We've had years to parse the difference between from and of, right?
Yeah,
very
we have.
Very different words.
It's true. It's tough.
You know, it's a little nuance. We don't do nuance anymore. Oh, they all died of COVID, right? But let's just talk about that real quick. So let me see. Pull this over a tiny bit. Make this a little bit smaller. So this is, come on, give me that corner. So this is like even this is what we live in Massachusetts. This is mass.gov. This is the official government site. It says here on March 10th of last year. So we're almost a full year into even Massachusetts figuring this out. David Wallace Wells, Massachusetts said here. Look at this beginning in March of 14th, 2022. The Mass Department of Public Health will update the criteria used for identifying COVID-19 deaths to align with guidance from the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists. Look at this. Currently, the COVID death definition includes anyone who has had COVID listed as a cause of death on their death certificate and any individual who has had a COVID diagnosis within 60 days but does not have COVID listed as a cause of death on their death certificate. Within 60 days.
What?
If we had said... Hey, that's we're going to list death by McDonald's hamburger, and here's the criteria. Has anybody who's died within 60 days of having a McDonald's hamburger died, then we call that a McDonald's hamburger death. 60 days. Like, no, like, normally in medicine you try and say, this happened and that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their lungs filled with fluid so they couldn't oxygenate, so they basically drowned to death and we call it pneumonia. There's a path there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You would never say, this person, their lungs shut down, but then 60 days later they died. It's that. It's just the dumbest thing ever. It's within 60 days. But imagine if we'd done the same standard by vaccines. Anybody who died within 60 days of getting a vaccine would be counted right. Obviously, it's stupid, right? But how are we still having this level of stupidity this late in the game? That's the question.
That is a good question.
Yep.
Have the colleges and universities changed their requirements? Regarding the
thing that must not be named. No, the thing that yeah.
No.
The Voldemort.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to call it, but
the Voldemort, the Lord.
The Lord, exactly.
The holy thing. Evie. So this is the part that's kind of demoralizing, is that you expect your pilot to be familiar with the airframe and operating that thing. You expect your crane operator to know what all the levers and buttons do, right? Mm-hmm. You expect your universities to be able to handle logic and reason,
mm-hmm.
and possibly to consider that they have a duty to protect the people who are being entrusted to them at a critical stage of life where they're coming out of a nest into the world, and you've got that
mm-hmm.
boundary portion where people are trying to figure out how to be humans and adults and all that stuff, right? Out yep. of the context of their parents. So that's a critical moment. So you would think you're going to entrust that these people aren't complete, absolute morons.
You would hope.
Right?
For the sake of your kids and others.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So... colleges and universities have not. Oh, have they been stopped getting paid to mandate? Now, that's a different question, Ann Walter. I don't know about that. It's a good question. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Ristow says if one pilot dies, the other must not. I was on a Twitter Spaces the other night and somebody called in or whatever you call it, chimed in and had a question, but then ended up sending me data they had done of in-air incidents, they're called. So if there's an incident where a pilot dies, that's an incident, or blacks out, that's an incident, or suddenly feels like they're woozy and they can't continue, that's an incident. They're incidents that cross a threshold and they log them because the FAA is pretty mm-hmm. pretty on that stuff. of course, those spiked massively in 2021, 2022. I mean, it's just like, do, boom, right? You know?
Yeah.
If the incident rate was down here in the low hundreds, it's up in the thousands now,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll parse that and make a video about it at some point. But
Teresa Long was on that, remember?
Yeah, I'll talk to her about it too. Speaking of Massachusetts and COVID deaths, John Bowden's going to be here later tonight, and we're going to record an episode right here in the studio. And he's the guy who's been parsing through the actual Massachusetts death certificates one by one. So we'll get him in here to talk about this in more detail because I just got to go down to the root data. But so the FAA, bless their hearts, as they say down south, they decided that one way they could possibly, address this huge number and spike in air incidences was to widen the acceptable EKG parameters for their pilots. Right?
That's really helpful. That helps right? so much.
From a PR interval of 200 milliseconds, way past the 220, 250 line where it's starting to get concerning, all the way to 300. Like just blowing right past everything sensible. And, Steve Kirsch has just been all over that, trying to get a question answer from them. And they won't answer because, of course, why would they dare to answer citizens,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Somebody said Allison Morrow interviewed a pilot yesterday.
Oh, really?
She's got some interesting interviews. I just started watching her. It's weird how we don't get served like-minded people.
Thank you,
often.
YouTube.
Right. Yep. Anyway, we should check that out because I don't know that I'd want to fly again until we sort of understand more about what's happening with that and how people are getting cleared.
I like that. Kellogg's 74. Brett, Weinstein gave me a shout out last week on Dark Horse. Well, let me give Brett a shout out. Brett is just phenomenal human being. Heather Hang, beautiful, wonderful human being, and together they're a really powerful duo. And I just love the way they think, and that they don't just think it, but they tell you how they thought that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll give you the conclusion, and then they'll back into it and tell you how they got there. And you don't have to agree with them. I mean, but it's the process.
Yeah.
They're true teachers. I can't.
True teachers.
True teachers. They would have been, I'm sure, extraordinary professors to have.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. The kind you remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And Evergreen booted them because they weren't woke enough. What a loss. What a loss. But if you do that long enough, eventually you get journalists going, oh, we can't shoot it down. I'm out of questions, you know?
Exactly. That's where that leads.
Yeah.
It does, indeed.
Yeah, so watch the Dark Horse podcast if you haven't. Just check out, thanks, Archer. Just check them out. So anyway, so back to this story. So now they've updated it, so it reduces the time frame of within 60 days to down to 30 days, right? And they ended up taking 15% of people who had been described as dying from COVID to with. But here's the thing. Nobody died of COVID. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person. You could have COVID, and because of that, the primary cause of death that would be listed on the death certificate would be circulatory failure.
Right.
You know, pneumothorax, you know, your pneumo failures. You would have had some cardiovascular event. You would have had an embolism that occluded something. You would have had organ shutdown. That's the primary. Like, you mm-hmm. know, somebody will die of organ failure, like your kidneys shut down, your heart stopped working. That's the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But the contributing, it would be COVID, right?
Yeah.
I've seen lots of these certificates where there's only one thing on the death certificate, COVID. Nobody dies actually of, that's not a thing you die of.
No.
You die because something happened
right.
in your body, right?
And a lot of people ended up suffering from organizing pneumonia, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what really caused people to get super ill
yep.
at the end of it all.
Yep.
At least from what I understood.
I mean, at least from a death certificate standpoint, we might say that if somebody died of arsenic poisoning, we would say they died of poisoning. But on the death certificate, it's going to still say their heart stopped or
right.
their lungs stopped or mm-hmm. something like that, right? And then right under that, it'll be saying, you know, here's what happened. So, at any rate, balloon is here to drop off Joe's check. Hey, 10% for the big guy. Took a balloon to deliver it. Thanks for that comment. Oh, yeah. And you're right. St. Kirsch, you can find Steve on Rumble. Of course, he got completely blocked here on YouTube. And, you know, anyway. But he's back on Twitter.
I
so
saw
Twitter's
that.
A lot of people back on Twitter. A lot of people. So that's a really good thing. So I'm glad about it. You know what the crazy thing is? So I get these questions all the time. People say, hey, Chris, you know, do you think that this coronavirus was engineered so that downstream this will happen and then they have this magic thing that pretending as if we humans have this great, magnificent capability to understand that level of complexity that happens when a virus goes out into the wild and begins to combinatorially and mathematically through the wonderful, brilliant, very large numbers of nature replicate in trillions and trillions of ways until it finds that improbable solution that you could have never actually found on your own. So it's just sort of an emergent behavior of being out there in the wild and doing what it does. Okay, so the question is, do you think we could have designed it to do this thing so that in a year this happens or that happens? And my answer is no. And the reason why is Twitter is something that humans built completely. 100%, it's a human thing. And they built these little AI routines. And over the past couple of weeks, people have figured out that the way you get better engagement on your channel is to lock it and hide it from everybody except your followers, and your engagement will shoot up, right? All right, that's a little hack. Some of us have been doing that. I've done it a few times. It's been a lot of fun. But where I knew that we didn't have the capability, that we are not in charge of our AI, that we do not know what the hell we're doing, and we could not possibly foresee what nature was going to do, is when Elon Musk locked his own account and said, I'm going to try this myself. He locked his account to find out, and sure enough, his engagement shot up and all that, which just says that we don't even understand the gremlins in the machines we built, and they are dead nuts simple compared to what nature is up to. So at any rate, Carolina C. asking, speaking of COVID, I'm traveling to London and Paris this March. Do we think I need to get vaccinated for protection? Thank you for all you do. Well, Carolina, we can't give medical advice. I would never presume to give medical advice. The question is, are the current vaccines that you would be considering, do they actually guard against the current circulating variants? And what does guard against actually mean? And actually, before that, you would ask, of the current circulating variants, how bad are they? What do they do? What might you expect? And the true answer is Omicron is and the current versions of it, it's very much not a dangerous thing for the vast majority of people. Of course, that's why it becomes an individual medical decision. I don't know, you know, what your condition is or underlying comorbidities and all that. But at any rate, yeah, personal decision. But I wouldn't personally. That's not medical advice, but my decision is not to, because I've evaluated. We both had COVID. It was a cold.
Twice.
Yep. I think we had it back pre-Omicron, and then we had Omicron. Haven't had it since. And we went to New York City.
We were
down there like in a hive.
I know it.
Of other humans.
It's true.
Nothing happened.
It's really not that bad.
To us. Wasn't that bad. All right. So anyway, back to the story.
Yeah.
So even Massachusetts. And I say even because I live in a pretty dumbass state when it comes to this kind of stuff. We're way behind the curve. If Massachusetts has figured this out, David Wallace Wells, I think you could have as well. But here he is carrying on with his argument in this piece in the New York Times asking, why so many Americans dying? Not just a few, hundreds of thousands, like several Vietnams more than you would expect. So he says, all right, carrying on. What do we got here?
Reasons,
other causes. Over the last 3 years, the country's large excess mortality has been mostly, I hate that word, mostly, remember, he's, bring out your dead.
Yeah.
He's mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Right? Princess Bride? He's not. Mm-hmm. He's mostly, has been mostly attributed to COVID-19, but perhaps a quarter of the total, and at times, a larger share than that, has been chalked up. Oh, just chalk that up. Let's just chalk up all these hundreds of thousands of excess deaths. I'm laughing because this is just gross, right? Other causes.
Bad journalism.
That's it. That's what it is. Just been chucked up to other causes. Like, here we are years into this. Just like, we're just barely beginning to frame poor language around it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, he says here, quote, I've come to think of this gap as our excess mortality. Excess. How much more extra and unexpected death the country has experienced during the pandemic than we have recognized as the direct result of infection? And again, direct result included the idea that we blocked any and all early treatment data. I'm going to be doing a piece that comes out on Tuesday, my normal piece, talking about the vitamin D angle, where finally they ran through some studies, did a meta-analysis, put a Cochrane analysis on it, and said, it has a signal. And this is going to be fun. Little preview,
surprise.
If you want to. Yeah, surprise. So this is a little preview to what's coming. They had 78 studies to choose from. They threw away 75 of them. 73. They kept five.
What?
They threw away. Yeah, because they didn't meet their standards. And I guarantee they picked ones that I looked at and I said.
They just handpicked them.
They handpicked ones that were designed to fail. These were ones that gave vitamin D after people were in the hospital. They limited the range of studies to just that subset. That's like, remember what the whole trick they did with hydroxychloroquine? They're like, oh yeah, we'll run a study on that, on people who are already in the hospital on ventilators.
Oh, they didn't get better.
Oh no, weird. They didn't get better. So that's like the National Highway Transportation Association going, well, we applied airbags to people post-crash, and what we determined was they harmed more than they helped. So airbags don't work. It's like,
yeah,
how is this?
That's a good analogy.
How is this even a thing? At any rate, that's how broken this whole story has been.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to the story. Where does this excess mortality come from? David, can we just talk about that for a second? Again, he says here, you can estimate this excess in different ways. The Economist. Oh, this is good. We're going to The Economist. The Economist is where I go for all my epidemiological data. Not the CDC, Yeah, I don't want like some official body messing my data. I want to go to The Economist. So let's go there. We're at that stage of the story where we're turning to The Economist for supporting data.
Wow.
Calculates that in the United States, the total excess mortality through the pandemic is 20% higher than even the country's inflated died from official COVID death toll. A different CDC data set suggests only about 10% higher. Of course they do. CDC lowballs, all stuff like that. Other estimates range from lows of 15% higher to nearly 50% higher. How do we not have our arms around the most simple data there is?
I don't know.
Second of all, it doesn't actually, they're doing the same trick they did before. It's like, we have to lock everybody away because COVID. It's like, but it doesn't hit everybody equally, right? Oh, everybody has to get vaccinated. Does everybody need one? Right? And here they're going, excess death. Like, well, is it excess deaths in 85-year-olds or 14-year-olds? It kind of matters in this story, right?
Yeah.
So here it is just sort of smushed into one spot. But at any rate, as much as you can squeeze this into a story that we get to shrug and go, well, it's just confusing. Who knew? Right? It's anywhere from 10 to 50% higher, numbering hundreds of thousands so far. There it is. This is horrifying. It even tens of thousands or several thousands or even a few hundred, full stop, screeching halt, we start doing something entirely different and we, you know, figure this out. Billions of dollars are spent. You know, remember I interviewed all those, the embalmers, right?
Yeah.
And they're finding these long calamari fibrous things, you know, these clots. And I asked the question, how many times have you been contacted by the CDC, the FDA, anybody, state, federal? Zero, right? Nobody's interested in this because my theory is you never ask questions that you don't want to get the answer to. But we're not asking these questions. So here finally is the New York Times years later going, well, it seems anywhere from 10 to 50% higher. We don't know, right? So this is, we have to file this under the, what could it be? What could it be? So in absolute terms, he says here, quote, the numbers have declined over time as the COVID-19 death toll itself has declined with vaccination and natural immunity and the less virulent Omicron strains. So it's like, oh, look, because of vaccination, it's declined and COVID deaths have declined. So it's overall declined. So it's just mushed it all up as if we can't separate these.
Right.
And you can't resolve them. This is an old trick. You smush it all into a pile. You say it's confusing. And then you come out of that without anything. And people go, well, I don't know. It's just, you know, we're already like eight paragraphs deep into this article. And it's like, what is it? What?
Right? It's very confusing. Yeah.
But, which means we can ignore everything in yellow. The gap between COVID-19 mortality and overall excess mortality has proved remarkably and mystifyingly persistent.
This is painful.
Isn't this painful?
It is.
This is what's passing is like you can feel the torturing of the logic. It's just like I'm trying to make sense of this and I know it doesn't make sense, but I have to cram it through this like tiny little wormhole.
Yeah.
So something pops out that I can so I can get to sleep at night. So recent data, he says here, can be noisy as the CDC slowly processes death certificates. And by the way, multi-tens of billions of dollar agency has to slowly process these things. I'm like, no urgency. Don't worry about it. It's just an emergency. We're using emergency use authorizations. We have emergency things. We're locking people in their homes. But take your time. And Rhonda down in the basement who has to process these things, she'll get through this.
Puttering around.
Yeah. She'll get through the extra few hundred thousand whenever she does, right? Take your time. No hurry. But almost every week for more than 6 months, he writes here, the agency has calculated the total excess mortality was 50% larger than and often almost twice as large as the number of official COVID-19 deaths.
Wow.
50% larger and sometimes twice as large as the official COVID deaths, which are inflated.
Mm.
Right?
That's a big number.
From versus with. Which we tend to regard as the central public health anomaly of the age. Anyway.
I don't know if it's been spoofs or not, but have you seen all those articles out? Like, if you're outside, exercising or if like all sorts of stupid, ridiculous,
yeah,
you know, attributing ridiculous hobbies and stupid things to gardening, why people are keeling over.
Yeah. Eggs.
I heat, forget all of them. They're just
climate
dumb.
Change, stress, sleeping in front of the telly,
mm-hmm.
being young. Hey, this used to always happen. Sort of like the IRS processing tax returns. That's right, Nick. That's how it is. Like, you know, it can't be bothered. You know what it is. So, and in green here it says, and though the pattern has continued for 3 years, there isn't medical or scientific consensus about what is driving it. Oh, it's just like, as if you need scientific consensus, right? No, this is called a differential. We put the most likely things at the top. We start working through it. You apply resources and money against it if you're legit confused, and you work it through. But look at this. There's no medical or scientific consensus, so we just got to shrug.
Whatever.
Because this is the age of the experts, you know. Until we have expert consensus, what are we going to do?
It's like the RCTs.
You know? Meanwhile, I will tell you, David Wallace Wells and other confused writers and people who don't get this yet, other people have figured it out. And you just look at the vaccine uptake trends, and they are all flat and lined out, right? People have already voting heavily with their actions or lack thereof. Instead, perhaps several hundred thousand unexpected deaths have been explained only by loose conjecture. So, step one, don't investigate something. Step two, claim we only have loose conjecture. Step three, go to step one, right? It's just this bizarre little stupid loop of like, hey, we're ignorant. We didn't learn anything, so we're still ignorant. Like, of course you are. Of course you are. That's how it is. We've got to figure this out, hyperventilated University of Minnesota epidemiologist Michael Osterholm, who was busy telling us it didn't come from a lab, right, back in the day. So I've never forgiven him for that and won't. And in order to do that, you have to have that discussion. Wait a minute, this is bigger than people think. Yeah, Michael, and you begin that conversation 2 years ago, at least. Okay? That you're just like sort of coming to this amazing conclusion that we have to at least begin to recognize. What is this now? AA, step one. Hold on. We have to admit we have a problem. This is University of Minnesota epidemiologists. This is the top. This is the creme de la creme. This is your intellectualosia. This is your ivory tower specialist. This
allegedly.
This is your best thinkers. Right?
Wow.
And here we are. So, how about a balloon joke contest? You're on. Let's do this.
Let the pun begin.
All right. So, in the overall, what could it be, though? It would not be a great article in the New York Times unless they went through some hypotheses. So, hypothesis one, this is the number one. They always float this one first. Delayed care. Because, you know, if you don't go to your doctor, then you just die. That's how important doctors are. And I'm like, you know, 150,000 people a year die from what's called iatrogenic care, which means they go into the hospital and doctor system and die because of it.
And they never come out.
So there's actually an argument to be made that possibly delayed care saved some lives, right? Possibly, right? But this whole thing that, like, you know, people were just like wandering around with vague chest pains they didn't get checked out or big lumps growing out their neck that they just didn't, like, this is a dumb hypothesis, but it comes out a lot, but it should be easily tested in the data. Because we should see people dying from ordinarily preventable things. This should be easy. We should be able to test that. But they always trot that one out first. Second, this, you know, they're like, you can't make these vague hypotheses. Oh, let me make one. Here, it must have been social isolation, anxiety, and unemployment. This is gaslighting.
That worsens a wide range
of conditions. Gaslighting. It's anxiety. It's in your head. These people are just anxious. You know how it is. Like, we're kind of like greyhounds, you know, just get a little jittery. You see too loud of a noise and they just keel over from a heart attack. It's a thing, right? Yeah. But that's the second hypothesis offered in this amazing thing. Third is that COVID-19 infection does harm to the body that can linger. This definitely needs to be looked at. No question about that. It's on my list that we don't understand the long-term effect of this particular virus, because this is not a normal coronavirus. It came equipped with a variety of motifs in the spike protein that we do not otherwise find in coronaviruses, right? It has some GP120 repeat sequences in there, which is an HIV sequence. How to get them? Don't know. What's the impact? Don't know, right? It has exposed sections in the middle once it starts getting chewed up that can create amyloid, which is a cascading clotting response. Mm-hmm. Creates amyloid proteins, has those.
It's like the calamari things.
Mm-hmm. It could be a cause on that. And also it has that PRRA furin cleavage site, which gives it different sort of distributions and abilities to replicate. So that's all true. And there's probably other things we haven't even unraveled yet. And this thing didn't come equipped with a key to the house. It came with six keys to six different locks. It goes into all kinds of cells. What do you mean spy balloon shot down just offshore of Myrtle Beach? Really? Oh, get me a link on that if you could, Rocket Boy. If you can find that, shoot the link in there. Ryan, can you see if that's true? Because we should pull that up if that happened. Mm-hmm. As well, hypothesis four is that this is what the COVID infection damages immune function in some patients in a long-lasting way. Okay, all right, that's a possibility. And finally, they had number five, which is post-acute sequelae. And with reinfection and da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's it. That's all they could come up with. That's their complete approved list of differential things that could possibly...
have caused the excess?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Right.
Oh, that's lame.
They didn't even go in to try and say, and we know that there's been some myocarditis and pericarditis, which is now officially, we can't ignore it and we can't pretend it doesn't exist,
right.
That has happened. That's not mild, because it ends in death for some people, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's mild death. But they didn't even say it can't be that because we've looked at it and did it. Like they just ignored the whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is how deluded some people are at this point in time. So that's that.
Yeah, it got shot down.
It got shot down? Yeah. Oh, man. We got to pull this up real quick.
Are you going to do it on here?
Yeah, I got to see if I can pull this up. Do they have any pictures? Did you find any pics?
There's a video of it.
A video of it?
Disclose.tv tweeted it.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick peek here. All right. Huh. So Disclose has it?
Yeah.
All right. I think I got this on this computer. We'll just grab this. Oh, no. Wrong.
You're not signed in.
Not signed in on that one. Nope. All right. So we will see if we can pull this up. Now that's a consider as a shoot down.
You look for videos, I guess.
Yeah, I wanted to find it on. Yeah, they're
not.
It's
not the most exciting video in the world.
All right, that's fine.
We're not missing anything.
Yeah. I just wanted to see if they had anything. Yeah, thank you, Google. Look at that. Zero videos in the past hour. So that's just how it is.
Wow.
So.
Censored.
That didn't help. So that's where we are in the whole empire thing. But, yeah, phenomenal what's going on here. Phenomenal. So I wonder what this is all about then. It feels like it's a distraction.
What else is happening right now in the world? What isn't happening right now?
Well, Lydia says, don't get sucked into the new narrative they're pushing. It's to condition you to go to the war with China. So I've been writing about this for a while, and I had a piece out on YouTube last week about the possibility that war with China is coming up. If we do go to war with China, listen, it's not like you could put an egg timer on our prosperity if we do that without getting into like the kinetic aspects and, you know, does it go nuclear or any of that other stuff. We get into a shooting war with China and all of a sudden we discover that oil is not shipping in boats across the ocean and various components that are necessary for manufacturing and supply chains aren't happening. That could be everything from antibiotics and other pharmaceuticals. I mean, if you've been paying attention, apparently there's a huge acute shortage of like Ritalin and certain antibiotics. And can you imagine what would happen in the United States if we got into a shooting war with China and they just simply said this, that's it, we're cutting off one thing, the drugs we ship you. Can you imagine what happens to an entire nation of people suddenly weaned, if we can use that word, of Prozac, benzodiazepines, ADHD meds, whatever they are. It would be just a... yeah, that would be a nightmare.
It would be like a Fear the Walking Dead or a Walking Dead episode. Mm-hmm. It would look just like that, I imagine.
Fang, fang. This chat is killing me too, Blake. This is a great one today.
It's bringing up my spirits. I'm feeling sad today.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter. For sure. Yeah, so.
I've got a heavy heart today.
Yep. I can. So, one of the things I track more than I probably should, I don't know if it's good for my mental health, is actually looking at, I don't trust any of the reporting out of Ukraine, right? No news articles. But I go and I see frontline videos.
Mm-hmm.
First up, it looks like in the whole center front line, it looks like World War One. Every tree is like shattered and broken. There's trenches, you know, dug everywhere. And it looks brutal. And it's more brutal because at least in World War One they had like crappy accuracy, you know. But now they have these drones flying above head that like triangulate and see you, and they dial in the artillery on your head from a long ways away, right? And we've seen as well that they've started to have to dig deep into this conscription side of things where they're pulling younger guys and older guys. They up the age of conscription to 55, so they're taking 55-year-old guys and big bellies and trying to shove them into the meat grinder. It's really bad. It's really bad. So the thing I've taken from that so far is that what we call modern warfare, now with the drone technology they have,
yeah,
it's not...
Not pretty, huh?
No, you know, in World War One, we'd just come out of some other wars, but prior to World War One, every other war had included troops, and one of your most valuable troop sets were your horse-mounted troops, because they come riding in hard with their sabers, and they're higher, and they're faster, and so anyway, you get a bunch of horse-mounted troops into ordinary dudes, and it's a mess, right, for the dudes on the ground. So that had been how it had been up to a certain point. And then World War One comes along, and they actually had machine guns for the first time. And famously, there was a French general that lost hundreds of thousands of troops and horses because he couldn't figure out the new battle strategy, which was you don't just ride a column of your best. And these were brave, brave people. I mean, they're the cuirassiers. They were just really, really, to get to that level, they had these little French pigtail things to demark that you got to this level. Beautiful uniforms, but they were amazing horsemen.
Wow.
And they would he just kept riding them wave after wave into these machine gun nests. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't adapt to that new reality. And so that's why I'm not a huge fan of war at all. It's just destructive and stupid. But in a modern era where you have people above seeing you with, you know, infrared and just dialing stuff, death down on your head.
Right.
I just can't imagine anything more.
Without risking themselves, it's not like mano-a-mano anymore.
Yeah.
In that regard.
No. No. Anyway, it's just, yeah, horse generals, cavalry, machine guns. Yeah. You know, it was not good. So
you've been watching that stuff.
I think we've just faced a similar shift. I think it's just happened. Can you imagine? So we've all seen those scary little short videos of the Boston Dynamics robots doing parkour and jumping and stuff.
Yep.
But you can imagine, like, these things, it won't be like in the original Terminator where, you know, they outrun and the Terminator's slightly missing them with his Desert Eagle 45.
Mm-hmm.
These things won't miss, right? They will be taking, you know, new position locations every thousandth of a second to find out the exact, you know, calculate. Like, these things won't miss.
No.
Right? So basically, this becomes sort of robot on robot, because humans won't be able to compete, and that's the world we're heading into. And I'm thinking to myself, cool, you know, okay, we could do that. But what if instead we said, wow, we better start building like better homes and high speed, you know, mass transit, and figuring out where we are in the energy story, and figuring out what happened to the missing insects, and figuring out how we're going to farm in a more truly sustainable way, where you could leave behind an operation that could go for 1,000 years, doesn't run out of phosphorus in 60 years. And, you know, we're just not being smart about this.
No. And imagine how good it would feel to leave that to the next generation, like to not leave a total mess behind.
Yep.
But to just feel like everything's right with the world when you take your last breath.
Yep.
Because you've done all that you could, and it was on some level enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't feel good leaving my kids behind without leaving something for them, and not just like an apartment, but like, you know, rich garden infrastructure. I don't know. Skills. Yeah.
So as we close up here, Charlie Kennedy asked who is making the rules, and bad would be that somebody's making up the rules. Worse is that nobody's making up the rules. I vacillate all the time. Is this malicious? Is this ignorant? You know, do they actually have it in hand? Do they not?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think more and more there's no, it's just as random as it might appear. Could be. So, well, yeah. And you're right. Yeah. You know, the blooper rules of Boston Dynamics is true, but they're coming along fast, right? So we can easily imagine in 10 more years, like, because you know, we already saw, right? I forget where it was, San Francisco. Some city said, "Hey, we're gonna use one of these Boston Dynamics dog robots and in our patrols, and it was gonna be armed or something." And people said, "How about no?"
You know. Oh, I remember hearing about that.
But you know, it's common, right? You feel that inevitability. Sooner or later, there'll be these things out there making decisions, right? But already on the battlefield, they have these drones that are autonomously equipped. They send the Lancet planes up there. Mm-hmm. And they have the capability with certain pre-programmed, if I see this outline all on my own, I go and I take it out because it's a certain class of machine and I've been programmed to go take that out. So we're already there in a sense.
Plus, you know, like in the various protests and stuff like that, people were getting, what's the name of that stuff that like gives you some kind of electronic waves or whatever? It makes you really sick.
Oh, well, they were using the long-range acoustical devices.
Yes.
The LRADs, but they also have a UHF or a VHF. They have some kind of radio frequency thing they were also experimenting with. We saw in Australia people were showing these RF meters where they were getting just absolutely clobbered with way outside the normal band radio frequencies, and I don't know what the intent of that was.
Was Did that it make to, them sick?
Was that to block their cell phone transmission to see if they could...
Right.
Because we know this is what happened during COVID. The governments got all excited, and their military units said, "Let's practice our electronic warfare and our propaganda techniques and our psyops and our nudge units on our own people." They were so excited, lethal. You know,
know.
Oh,
New
what a great opportunity! Yeah, we get to try them on our own folks, right? So, anyway, so all right. Well, I guess that's what we have for today.
Yeah.
Any closing words, Evie?
No, just hug the ones you love and keep them close. You know, we never know how much time we have here on this earth. And I think it's important for us to appreciate the people that are around us and, you know, to get busy doing what we're here to, you know, born to do, basically.
Yeah,
what we're here to do.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Eric, Windhorse Mutant.
We love you.
We love you. I'm with you. And in just closing, come by Peak Prosperity. And if you want, Eric would love this. We just got a message yesterday from the publisher that we are this close to getting on a bestseller list. I don't know which one, but one. And so if you want to check out my latest book, which is a revised edition of The Crash Course, you can find it, you know, Martinson, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. If we could get that with a pre-order, because it comes out on March 1st, if we could just a few more pre-orders, we get that up on the bestseller list, then that's awesome because... Well, my ego gets assuaged, but it means that more people see it because success breeds that. So when you get on the list, then more people ask you about it, and then more people see it. And it's a really important message. It's about the crash course, the three E's, the unsustainable nature of all this. I think more people that know what's coming, the better off we're going to be, because more people will do what we're doing, hopefully, which is becoming more resilient, more prepared. And resilience is not just financial resilience and, you know, material resilience. A lot of people start and stop there. Well, I got some beans. I got a basement.
I got a gun.
You know, that's all good. We don't say don't do that, but we say that's an and to financial capital, social capital, emotional capital, your material capital, your skills and knowledge, et cetera. So we like to talk about all that, and the way people get there often is the crash course is a really good framing material that gets people's minds around what's coming. And it works because I don't tell people stuff that A, they don't already know, and B, that isn't completely backed up with data. So you see, you can totally disagree with me, right, around the conclusions of it. But A and B are on the table, and at least then we have an informed conversation. So that's why the crash course is important to me. It starts the conversation, and then that's problem definition. Oh yeah, we got something we better talk about. And then we move over to this larger conversation of, well, what do we do about it?
And what I love about your book in particular is that, you know, in school when you're learning different subjects, everything's all You know, it's all separated. It's like you're bringing all of these concepts together in a way that we're never taught, you know, in primary education, secondary education, whatever. They just don't touch. So learning about, you know, the economy, things we weren't told, the energy, environment, all of that coming together just makes sense for the first time in a way that, you know, I don't know that it ever has before, at least for me.
Well, thanks. Yeah. No, they don't just touch. They are smooshed together.
Exactly.
Well, you can.
Interwoven.
You have to see how they connect. So, so we do walk the talk, and we are recording this or sending this out live right now. And this is from our studio in Western Massachusetts, where it's blazingly cold out today. That big cold snap that everybody dealt with is just wandered over us last night. With wind, it must have just been brutal. Anyway, we woke up today, and our three cows were still alive. So we're like, yes, tougher than they, you know, look. Cows
and the
are
chickens.
And the chickens. So that's been our solution, is to say, you know what? We probably better learn some skills, and we better have access to our own food production. And so we have cows and chickens and a garden and fruit trees and vines and things like that. That's our approach, but we're about the resilience. So
we are saying goodbye. It's true. We started talking.
I know.
It's hard to say goodbye. It's so lovely to be here with you.
You
guys.
Got me on that one, Dreamwheeler. All right. I'll call it there.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Have a happy weekend.